Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Why don't you find our seats together? Today is a substitute teacher day here at Southern Hills, so we get to have lots of fun, but it is a substitute teacher that you should recognize. In some ways, it's not even really a substitute teacher because Dr. Bill Moore is going to be preaching today for us, someone who's been with us, of course, for some time and is one of our pastors emeritus as well. So that is very exciting. It's good to join you in this new year. And as we begin this new year as a church together, why don't we stand and greet one another with the peace of Christ? As we find our seats, let's pray. Lord, you are majestic, and all knees will bow before you. Lord, as we gather together for this Epiphany Sunday, we thank you for the ways that you often surprise us, as that word epiphany means, the ways that you defy our expectations and bring us new life and new times. Lord, as we gather for worship, we pray that your Spirit will move in us and refresh our hearts as we go out into the world in this new year. Amen.
the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Please stand as you are able for our call to worship. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
We are called out of our darkness into light.
Lift up your eyes and look around.
We rejoice in the gift of light.
Come, let us worship the God of light and joy and peace.
We come to kneel at the cradle of the baby, the light incarnate.
Our complimentary Psalter lesson for Epiphany Sunday is Psalm 72. Let us read it responsively. Give the king your justice, O God.
And your righteousness to the royal son.
May he judge your people with righteousness.
And your poor with justice.
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor and the people.
May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth.
In his days may righteousness flourish.
And peace abound till the moon be no more. Give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor.
May the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring him gifts.
May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him.
For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper.
He has pity on the weak and the needy.
And saves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence, he redeems their life. And precious is their blood in his sight.
May be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Miss Hannah.
Good morning. Happy New Year. So glad to see you guys. You seem kind of quiet. Is everybody tired this morning? Yeah? Are you thinking about how you have to go back to school this week? Yes, we're going to have to start getting up earlier. Okay, yeah, I digress. Well, I did bring a few things with me today, and the first one is I think it's the sparkliest of the things that I brought, so we'll start with that. What is this? A star. Yeah, I guess where I grabbed it from. The top of my Christmas tree. Do any of you have a star on top of your Christmas tree? Yeah. Have you ever thought about why we put a star at the top of the tree?
No.
Well, let's talk about the star.
Because Jesus follows it.
We're getting there. Okay. So after Jesus was born, I know it feels like Christmas is over because we've celebrated Christmas, but now in the church, we're in a season called Epiphany, which is the days after Jesus was born. And there were some special people that followed a star. Who followed the star?
The wise men.
Did they live kind of close or really far away? Really far away. And so they were traveling to go and see Jesus. We don't know exactly how long it took. It was a really long journey. They followed the star. Now, have any of you ever had to like be in a room and it's really dark and you're trying to find your way? How does that feel?
Scared.
Kind of scary. What if you had something like this? A flashlight. Would that help you to like guide you where you want to go?
Yeah.
So for the wise men, this star was kind of like their flashlight because this was before streetlights, okay? It was pretty dark outside. So they needed something to guide them to where they knew that a king had been born. They didn't have all of the details because they didn't have cell phones, right? There was no texting, okay? So they didn't know what had happened, but they knew that they needed to follow this bright star in the sky to find out who this king was that had been born. Now, not only did they visit him, what did they bring to him? They brought him gifts. Now, did they probably just bring him whatever they had hanging around, or did they try and prepare something special to bring to Jesus? They tried to bring something special, gold and frankincense and myrrh, the greatest things that they could give, they gave to this newborn king. Now, what are gifts that we can give to Jesus today? He doesn't need gold, frankincense, or myrrh anymore. What are gifts that we can give?
Love.
Love. Yep. What else? Peace. Kindness. We're listing the fruits of the Spirit here. I like it. Anything else? What about the gift of serving other people in Jesus's name, right? So we may not be able to bring Jesus gold and frankincense and myrrh because you all don't even really understand what frankincense and myrrh are, do you? We can talk more about that upstairs. We don't bring things like that, but what we can do, like the wise men that followed the star, came to Jesus and brought him gifts. We can follow Jesus today and we can give him the gifts that we give of love and peace and service to others and kindness to others. And that's how we continue to follow Jesus today. Christmas is not over. We can celebrate this all year long. Let's have a prayer together. Dear God, thank you for this season of Epiphany. Help us to remember to continue to follow you as the wise men did. And help us remember that we can give gifts to you, or that we can give gifts to others in your name every day. God, we love you and we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, let's go upstairs.
There's an old saying from the Roman Empire that we still use today sometimes. It's that a leopard cannot change its spots. The idea being that something can't change what it is. But the story of Epiphany shows us something different, that wise men, magicians from faraway lands can come and gaze upon the Christ child and be changed. And the same is true for us. With that spirit, knowing that new life can come through the Holy Spirit, let us pray this prayer of confession together. O God, by the leading of a star, your only Son was made known to us, and yet we confess that we have preferred darkness to light, our own plans and purposes to your guidance and direction, our own pride and will to your power and glory. Forgive us, Lord. Grant us wisdom to behold the radiance that shines upon us,
and grace to walk in the light of your love. Church family, hear the good news. You guide us into life, light, and love, God of wonder. You invite us to experience new birth. May the glory of Jesus Christ shine in the darkest places of our lives, and may we receive the gift of salvation that is your desire for us. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, you are a God that so often defies our expectations. And the Christmas story and the Epiphany story are great examples of that. You are a God who saw fit to live a life that started not in a palace, but in a manger. You are a God who saw fit to bring lordship to us, not with a crown, but with a baby. And you are a God who changes hearts and minds as the wise men come from faraway lands that once oppressed your people Israel to show the lordship and kingship of that very child. Lord, as you are a God that so often defies our expectations and surprises us, gives us epiphanies that change us, may we be open to your surprises. May our hearts be softened and prepared for the ways that you move in us, for the ways that you draw us into the world in service, and for the ways that you work, despite the ways that we often want you to work. May we truly wish to see an earth as it is in heaven, and through eyes that can see the way that you see, through hearts that feel the way that you feel for those around us, and through minds of wisdom that understand
your will and way in the world. Lord, you came to bring peace and to proclaim good news to the poor and release to the captives. Give us wisdom as your church to follow in your way. In a world that is certainly not at peace, give us the strength to be peacemakers, as you called us to be and said that we would be blessed if we followed in such a way. And Lord, we look to those around us, all of the sick, the hurting, the broken, the homeless, the addicted, all of those that are on our hearts that we carry with us, Lord, and all of those whom we do not know, we lift to you in prayer. Lord, hear our intercession for your people and give us wisdom and courage to be your hands and feet to them, both in our communities and our families and around the world. And now we join with churches around the world who also desire to see your kingdom reign, as we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I would now like to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings.
And to read in heaven God's command.
give you thanks and praise for all that you have given to us, and so we return it back to you. Please transform these gifts to a reflection of your love and glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men came from eastern lands, arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come to you, a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from him the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, what a pleasure it is to be with you all on this Epiphany Sunday. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you. You know, I always like seeing the kids talking about the king's coming. I remember the story about a little boy who was involved in the Christmas pageant. He was one of the three kings. And the first king came down, and he presented his gift. He said, "Gold." And the second kid presented his gift, and he said, "Myrrh." And this little boy stepped up, and he said, "Frank sent this." We have a lot of serious things to say about this story today, but I did want to say that. You know, one of the things that John Hatton asked me to do, if I would, is to talk a little bit about something that I'm involved in. Some of you know this, but I am the chaplain out at Wesley Village Community Center, out in Wilmore. And he asked me if I'd say a few words about it. Did you know that recently Wesley Village celebrated 30 years? And it was something that came to be because of some very far-sighted United Methodist people, including our church, the United Methodist Church, and also Asbury Theological Seminary. But, you know, in those early days, as they were trying to get set, they didn't have an office. Alan Boischer, who was the communications director, actually had an office right here in the church. And then among the leaders, some of you all remember Tim Layton. He was our director of leisure ministries here at the church. And he went out and he became their director of development and marketing. Did you know that Wesley Village was the first CCLC, that means Continuing Care Living Community, the first one that was approved in the state of Kentucky? Ted Hahn, a Southern Hills member, contributed greatly to helping with fundraising efforts and building programs. John Acheson is the present-day chairman of the board, and Reverend Dennis Burroughs is a board member. And I wanted to say that Glenda Creech has been on board there at the Village for the entire 30 years as the CEO, providing outstanding leadership, vision, and direction. And today, because of the vision and the building and the adding on, there are 70 patio homes out there. There are 24 independent living apartments. There's continuing care that includes personal care on the Hager Wing and skill care on Hahn Manor. There's a memory care unit and a separate facility called Holloway Cottage. And amenities at the Village include a saltwater pool, a cafe, and a continuing list of activities and special events. There's a wonderful spirit about the place, but the greatest asset we have is the people who live there. Did you know that 17 Southern Hills members are at the Village? I'm going to ask Elijah to scroll some pictures. I promise you that they play a very big role in the life of the Village, in leadership, in the music, and building lasting friendships. You can be proud of our folks that are there. By the way, if there are any members here today who live at Wesley Village, would you stand up so that we can see you and recognize you? Would you do that? It's great. I've been grateful across the years, back to when I was on staff here, about the positive financial support of our church for the Wesley Village Benevolent Fund, which helps persons who have outlived their resources, and it helps them remain in their home. And no one has ever had to leave the Village for lack of funds. And in the coming days, you're going to hear about new plans to expand the Village onto new land that has been purchased with new patio homes and memory care facilities. Please stay tuned for that. And with the Lord's help, we look to a bright future of ministry for persons at every level of care. Well, in the Western Church, we call this Sunday the second Sunday after Christmas. The day after tomorrow, January 6th, will be Epiphany, the official end of Christmas. And only a small percentage of Christians will take note. Since they ceased being Christmassy the day after Christmas, even though the church celebrates the 12 days of Christmas called Christmastide. But in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, Epiphany is Christmas. Epiphany is the day that the wise men arrived where Joseph and Mary were staying and worshiped the newborn baby Jesus. In our Cliff Notes version of Jesus' birth, you know, we have this tendency to converge all the miracles of Emmanuel, God with us, into one magical manger night. But the wise men, who were Persian astronomers, Gentile scientists, outside-the-box scholars who studied the Jewish scriptures, they knew about this Micah 5 passage that we've heard today. They were still following that strange star during this time. And they were making their way to Bethlehem to find whatever awaited them at the end of their star quest. I can't help it. Every time I think of the story, I think of that great theologian, James Taylor. Did you know he had a song about the three kings? He said, "Those magic men, the magi, some people call them wise, oriental, even kings. Well, anyway, those guys. They visited with Jesus, they sure enjoyed their stay, then warned in a dream of King Herod's scheme, they went home by another way." That's a pretty good synopsis, isn't it? But the fact is, we don't know how many wise men there were. Traditionally, we think of them as the three kings because of the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But they were following their star that they might worship the one who had been born King of the Jews. The wise men came with pure hearts. Their purpose was worship and praise. They came not to find gold, but to find God. Their purpose was to offer up gifts for their Savior and Redeemer. Matthew 2:9 says, "Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was." So, friends, let me suggest some things today. Like the wise men, let us also keep Christ as the object of our devotion. Matthew tells us that the Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They had one question on their minds: where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. The point is clear. They came all the way for one reason, and one reason only: to worship him, to make him the object of their devotion. Don't forget this. There is a name that is above every name. As the angel said to Joseph in his dream, "You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So they entered the house where the child and his mother were, and they fell down before him and worshiped him, the scriptures say. They came to a house. They saw a child. This was later in the story. Some think Jesus might have been 2 or 3 years old. These devout men spread their treasures before the child, his mother Mary and Joseph, who must have looked with wonder at these strange Gentile people come to bow before their son. And we see in those men who came from so far away that he was just that for them. He was an object of their devotion. A pastor went to see a couple in his church. It was early March. As he sat in their den with them, he noticed a Christmas ornament hanging from a bookshelf. And the lady saw him look at it and said, "No, we did not forget. Every year when I put all the decorations away, I choose one to leave behind on purpose to remind me that Christmas is not just one day or one season. For me, Christmas is a lifetime. The ornament is a reminder that Jesus walks with me every day." Take this with you into the new year. If you want your life to be better in the new year, keep Christ as the object of your devotion. And there's something else here. Give to him the best that you have. In Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, "Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Keep Christ the object of your devotion, and therefore give to him the best that you have. Because the Magi, perhaps the three kings, paid homage to this new king, because they worshiped him, they presented to him their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold was a gift fit for a king. It was costly, treasured, and sought after, and was given to a baby king. Frankincense was an expensive fragrance representing a personal treasure, but also the high priestly role that Jesus would play in our salvation. And myrrh was a precious ointment used in the preparation of a body after death, a reminder to us that Christ was born to die for us. It was tinged with sadness. All of these gifts were expensive treasures in that day and in that part of the world. Each of those men brought to the one they worshiped the best that they had to offer him. This was the sign of their dedication. Just as their kneeling was a sign of their homage, so were these gifts a sign of their dedication. And it was also, I believe, a statement about their priorities. Who and what do we really put in first place? I wonder, could any of us and all of us dare to do what these men did? Would you dare to give to Christ the King the best thing you have, the most expensive thing, the best part of you? I wonder, would you give the best you have? And if you did, what might that be? What might you be able to give to him in the year ahead? You know, in the hymn, "In the Bleak Midwinter," there are these words: What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what I can, I give him. Give him my heart. Well, there's a story that a group of ladies arrived in heaven. St. Peter was questioning them and telling them they had to prove that they were Christians. This is just a story now. The first lady said, "I'm a Baptist, and here's my Bible to prove it." And the second lady said, "I am a Catholic, and here's my rosary to prove it." And the third lady began rumbling through this large pocketbook she had with her. And St. Peter asked her what she was doing. She said, "Well, I'm a Methodist, and there's a casserole in here someplace." You know what? That's a good story. It's very important to study the Bible and to live a life of prayer. It's also vitally important to live a life of service. Like the lady with the casserole, all of us can find some little thing we can do. We can find a way to serve. This will be our gift to Christ in the year ahead. Give him the best that you have. There's one more thing. Take our lives in new directions. It says in Matthew 2:12, "And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." If Christ is the object of our devotion, and if we give him the best that we have, then your life will take a new direction. And we come to that verse in the story that I really love. It says, "And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." This means they did not go back to Jerusalem through Herod's town. Herod was kind of a sketchy guy. They avoided him and his suspicion. And maybe it also means they lived another way. Maybe that could happen to us as we begin to move away from Christmas into the new year. Maybe we could return by another way. Perhaps that's the real test of Christmas, whether or not we have found something which cannot be lost, something that will carry us into the future by another way, on some new and different road to a new place in our living. Perhaps we can keep something of Christmas alive in us that will lead us into another way. Henry Van Dyke wrote these words. He said, "Are you willing to forget what you have done for other people and remember what other people have done for you? To ignore what the world owes you and think what you owe the world? To put your rights in the background and your duties in the foreground, to own that probably the only good reason for your existence is not what you are going to get out of life, but what you are going to give to life? To close your book of complaints against the management of the universe and look around you for a place where you can sow a few seeds of happiness? Are you willing to do these things even for a day?" He said, then you can keep Christmas. You can keep Christmas and you can take a new direction. You can carry with you into this new year the greatest blessings of this season. Jesus' birth transformed the definition of kingship from power to service. Jesus called into being a new kind of service. He called on us to be servants, a service to the least, not a service to those with the most to give, or a service to those most invested in keeping the status quo. Jesus' birth redefined the notion of priesthood. A priesthood focused not on bringing earth to God, but on bringing God to earth. We cannot go up on our own effort, but God, through the birth of Jesus, the very Son of God, does indeed come down to us. What wondrous love is this? what stunning humility did this thing. Well, friends, in this new year, well, the trees will soon be gone. Everything goes back in the boxes, right? The trees and the lights and the decorations are being put away. We've rung in the new year, and life returns to more ordinary rhythms. But our priorities as believers should not change. We should never lose sight of our calling as followers of Jesus to consider the needs of others. Howard Thurman wrote these wonderful words. He said, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart." Jesus gave us our marching orders, didn't he? He said in Matthew 25, "I assure you, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." So friends, follow the star. People who make a difference in the world are not content to sit on the sidelines. They set their sights on a worthy star as they follow it with all their hearts. Of course, the most magnificent star that we can follow is the same today as it was in the time of the Magi. It is the star of Christ himself, bowing before him in adoration and praise and offering the gift of ourselves. Called by a sign, instructed by Scripture, directed home by God, all the forces of heaven guided the wise men. Let us pray. Lord, we bow our heads and close our eyes before you in the beginning of this new year. Save us from vain resolutions and lead us toward new habits of holiness. Help us as we move through these days so that we realize the gift you have given us. Remove old temptations from our path and guide us in the way of grace. In all things, may we give you honor and praise and glory throughout 2026. Amen. So friends, it's right and good that at the beginning of the year we should have a service of communion. I want to remind you of the fact that this is not a Southern Hills table. It's not a Methodist table. It is the Lord's table. And all within the sound of my voice are welcome to come. And in this new year, I invite you, as you receive these elements, that you too might go home by another way, that you might find new paths of service, that you might renew and rekindle your relationship with the Lord. So in a few minutes, the ushers will guide you. We usually start with the two outer sections, and they go, and then the two inner sections, and everyone comes down the middle aisle. So let's prepare our hearts for communion. I invite you to turn to page 14, and we remember these wonderful words. On that night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Will you come? Well, what other song can we sing as we leave on an Epiphany Sunday? Let's stand and sing We Three Kings, number 254. Going to offer you a benediction that you may have heard before, but I think it's appropriate for a new year. You don't have to bow your heads, you can look right at me. Remember, dear friends, as you leave this place, do not pray for easy lives, but rather pray to become strong men and women. Do not pray for a task equal to your power, but for power equal to your task. Then the doing of your work will be no miracle, but you will be the miracle. And you will be constantly amazed what you can do and become by the grace of God through Jesus Christ living within you, unto whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.